Life throws you curveballs. My guest today went from being a baseball wife to a football mom. Well, thank you very much, Nicole, for being here today. A wife of a Major League Baseball player. Now he's coaching, has three amazing sons. One's at U of A. One's actually still in high school right now, being recruited heavily. And you have your baby boy who's going into ninth grade now.
Yep.
So it's good to have you on because you have such an opportunity here to really share what you know and your knowledge about, you know, your being a part of the professional world. And then you have a son who you've been through the recruiting process, so now you have a second son, so you're a little bit of a professional at this. So
I don't know about that, but okay.
So I just really want to get started today's episode just kind of really talking about that and how you've learned to be like the ultimate football mom. So when did you meet your husband?
I was a senior at ASU in 98. Okay. My husband at the time was a starting pitcher for the Montreal Expos. Okay. And he had just gotten called up in June. And they were in town playing the Diamondbacks. Yeah. And a girlfriend got tickets August 17th, 98.
I remember. Good time.
I do. I had the ticket in my book. I found it like years later. And so this particular night he was pitching. I didn't know that he knew my friend.
Okay. Oh, she's hooking you up.
She said that. She was like, you know what? This is not a hookup. Because I was like, I am not.
Yeah, right.
So she's like, no, this is not a hookup. Just if you want to come check out the ballpark, we're going to go to Jackson's on 3rd afterward.
Oh, yeah.
So get to the end of the game. We go down in the tunnel, like we're waiting for him and some of his teammates. Ooh. And we were going to head over to Jackson's. Right. So I'm trying to make small talk. Yeah. And so I said, so are you living in Montreal? And he said, yeah. And I said, I got to ask, are you a Maple Leaf fan? And hockey. He was like, looked at me like, wrong. That's Toronto.
You messed up.
And then he's like, no, that's Toronto. I'm in Montreal. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oops.
So I was like, okay, this guy's probably like, this girl knows nothing about sports.
Dang, bad. Doesn't know anything about totally, sports. Oh,
totally. We left Jackson's. Uh-huh. I didn't think I'd see him ever again.
Right.
He was coming out for the fall league, mm-hmm. the fall league that they do here. And he was like, hey, you know, I'd love to connect when I'm back out here. And I was like, I don't think that's
good. This sounds just so much like being a Vonna.
You know, I don't even remember what I said, yeah. But it.
Like athlete, though. Like,
yeah, I was like, I'm not trying to do this guy. He's traveling all around. He lives mm-hmm. in Canada.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks later, he had got my number from the girlfriend that I was originally with at the game.
Oh, my God. And so, all we have to do is just pull you out, put Ivana, take him out, put me in. This is
exactly.
The exact story.
A couple weeks later, I was living with my sister, who was also at ASU. And this is before, you know, cell phones, any of that.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm right
and,
there with you.
You know, so, and on the phone, on our kitchen phone, we didn't even have caller ID. So she's like, some guy's on the phone. And it was Jeremy. He's like, hey, I'm here. I'm in Phoenix. If you want to get together. We ended up chatting and we agreed to meet out. And I think we spent every day together in the fall league. And the rest is history. So
yeah, that's a good story because I was thinking about this. I know my wife's going to be mad because like when I met her, it was kind of similar. Like I saw her out. We were at a party. And I remember saying to one of her girlfriends, I'm like, hey, who's that? Who's your friend? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, Ivana. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you the real story. I'm not going to tell you the lie I tell most people because I make it seem like she was thirsty for me, but it was actually the other way around. I was chasing after her. So
yeah, okay.
Normally, I lie and say it's the other way around. But we were at the club, and I remember like going up to her and be like, hey, how you doing? I was like, I'm Russell. She's like, yeah, I know who you are. You're a football player. And I was like, well, damn. You know, like that uh-huh. It hurt my feelings because I'm like, wow, football players are that bad. But then it intrigued me even more because she was like, no, I don't want to be bothered with you. So
yeah.
It was just like this just cat and mouse of like, hey, how you doing? You know, how you doing? I'm Russell. And so listening to you talk about that, you know, she was the same way, kind of like, okay, Russell, you football players. Like, I know, I don't want to do this. I don't mm-hmm. want to have any. And that to me, and I'm sure your husband was the same way because you're so used to, for lack of a better word, kind of getting your way.
100%.
And for somebody to be like, no, I'm good, or I already know how you are. You got a bunch of women chasing you. You're like,
100%.
Like, wow, you're different. Like, this is so awesome.
Yeah.
And like you said, and the rest is history.
Like, I have to chase you.
Yeah.
Like, you're not throwing yourself at me, right? Yeah.
That was so great. I love that because that's the exact same story. So once you guys got serious and then you got married, like, were you traveling around with him? Because I know baseball, you travel all the time.
It's a lot. Yeah. Yes, I did. In fact, I was working. So now we're dating. I graduate ASU. I get my job, my first job out of college, and I'm in this job maybe, I don't know, 6 months. And he's like, I got this contract to go to Japan. I got asked to go to Japan. And he's like, but I only want to go if you're going to go with me.
Oh, wow. He was in love.
And I'm like, okay. All right. So this is a big leap for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm giving up my job. We're not engaged. And so we did it. So yes, we did travel around. But yeah, Japan was a big one. And we spent 7 years there.
Oh, wow. So how was that on your family? Like back here with your mom and just everybody, you being in Japan and then like you're in a whole other country.
Totally. And it was even a longer season because instead of a month, their spring training is 2 months and they don't allow family to go for their spring training.
Really?
Mm-mm. It's on like a different island.
So you got married when you were in Japan or?
No. We came here. We got engaged before I went to Japan.
Okay. Okay. Do you speak any Japanese?
A little bit. We've not been there in so long that you kind of lose it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So was Jeremy born there?
No. No military, no military connection. A lot of people ask us if, you know, if one of our parents was stationed there. No.
Just baseball.
Nope. Just baseball.
And so so how long were you with him over there? The entire time?
I went, the nice thing is when we got engaged, we were set to get married actually that next November. So I only went for, I think, maybe 2 months.
Okay,
and then
okay.
I came back, got ready for the wedding.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he was home. And then, but I went with him the whole next year. Okay. And that was amazing because we didn't have any kids. I just traveled around. I'd get on a train. He'd be gone somewhere. I'd get on the subway system and I just made my way and
that's got to be beautiful.
It was amazing. Oh, it was awesome.
Gosh, like that. It's okay. So I got to ask you this question because I know how it was for my wife before she became a fiance and then became a wife when she was a girlfriend. I mean, they treated her pretty bad, like the wives on the team. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like this initiation, like if you're not a wife or a fiance, if you basically don't have a ring on your finger, you're treated pretty poorly. And I'm like, is that a universal thing with
it's
sports?
A universal thing, I think. And I was just a girlfriend when he was playing here in the States.
Uh-huh.
We didn't get engaged until we were going to Japan. Yeah. So I don't know. I just know how it was then. It's because they didn't know. You're just a girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, now that I'm a wife, I can understand that.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You have to work hard. Yeah,
you have to work hard and you have to earn it because you don't know. You don't know the situation. You don't know if that's a girlfriend of, you know, many years or you don't know if that's a girlfriend of the week.
Right,
you just don't know the situation. I'm not judging. I just, you know how it is.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an initiation.
Yeah,
it's initiation process.
It's an adjustment because I know for, you know, with Ivana, when we first got married, it was like, I was so excited. Like, oh my God. But I'm still playing football. I'm still traveling. I'm still gone. And when we go places, people see you and they're like, oh my God. And I think people forget sometimes that this is somebody's husband. Like, there is a wife right here. There's a girlfriend. And they just bypass them. And they're like, oh my God, we just want to touch you. We want to be around you. And I can just tell you a lot of interesting conversations were had in the car ride home. Like, so who was that? Why was she all on you like that? And you're like,
You know what? We didn't have those conversations because at that time when we got married, we went right back to Japan.
Okay.
So we spent, you know, 6 years of our first years of marriage in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
But then when we came back, I think think he was at the Pirates when we came back. But it wasn't so like it. It wasn't. We had already been married for 6 years, and it was the fans in Japan are nuts.
Really?
Oh my gosh, nuts. Very different than baseball here. Very loud, almost like a college football game. Oh, yeah. Very loud. So it was more the fans that wanted to be a part of that.
Just be around you.
Yeah.
No. It was the exact same thing. I mean, being here in the States is like,
I can imagine.
On where you play, especially my first stop was Chicago. You know, with all the history there, you could be at a restaurant, which was great. Sometimes, you know, you reap the benefits of, oh, come on, right in. But then sometimes you go out and you're like, whoa, what is this? Is too much. I just want to chill with my family. Yeah. Like, I just want to be with my wife. I want us to have dinner. So when did you have your kids? Because you got to talk about your boys now. Okay, like, you have to talk about all three of them.
And I will say, I love Chicago, by the way.
Oh, it's beautiful.
His debut game was in Wrigley.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that was kind of special. But anyway, so Tyler's born 03, Logan 06, and Brady 09.
Yeah.
And so we had both the two boys in Japan.
Okay.
Or not, we didn't have them. I didn't physically have them in Japan. I had them in the States, but we had them with us.
Okay. Yeah. So they were being raised abroad.
Yes.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
But it speaks to, like, talking about the boys, you know, I think it speaks to how adaptable they are. Mm-hmm. And we're just seeing that, especially Tyler being in college, that when you're in the midst of it, you know, going to Japan or going to all these different cities, we spent, you know, two seasons in Greensboro. And then we were in New Orleans for 2 years. It's like we're all these different places. And you, at the time, you think, oh my gosh, we're not giving them any stability. Like, they're in this apartment over here and it's sharing a bunk with their brother. And then, you know, they're only getting some, you know, stability when they're at home for 6 months. You know, what are we doing? But then I look back and I'm like, that provided
absolutely
that, you know, adaptability to being in a new spot.
Yeah,
and just kind of
like,
exactly,
I'm only used to this little bubble, but I've been so many places. And it's kind of similar with me being in the military. Well, not me, but my mom was in the military.
Yes.
So we traveled a lot. And then with my kids, it's the same thing. Like, they've been in so many different venues and areas that they can adapt to any situation. There's nothing that they haven't seen or don't know how to handle. So I totally understand what you mean. It's like, when they're growing up, you just want stability.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to add that bit of being uncomfortable, because 100%. You're going to be uncomfortable. So now, you boys went, your oldest son, him being at Brophy, I know they're known for having, I think their coach has that 24/7, or doesn't he have
like a... He was part of, I don't know if he was part of the creation of that. I think he was, Coach Jason Jewell.
Okay, yeah.
He was actually Tyler's coach at the end of his freshman year. Tyler's freshman year coach was Scott Heidemann. He's still there. And then the varsity coach at that time was John Kitna.
Okay. That's the Kitna, like the...
John Kitna.
Okay.
I think he was quarterback.
Yeah.
Dallas.
Yeah, that's
maybe?
Why I was just like,
yeah.
Wow.
That's great, impressive. Great family. Great family. And then at the end of Tyler's freshman year is when Jewell came on. I believe Kitna went back to Dallas to coach his son at the time in high school.
Okay.
But Tyler wasn't a football player when he went to Brophy. He played baseball and basketball.
Well, I mean, he is what, 6'7"?
He's 6'7". He wasn't coming into Brophy. He's 6'7" and a half, I think, now.
Ooh, man.
Yeah.
So when he got there, it was just, he didn't want anything to do with football?
It was quite the opposite.
Really?
So we didn't even talk about football, really. He did the summer school before he got in there. Mm-hmm. He was doing basketball and baseball. He was on a club baseball team. And that summer, he was like, Mom, and we were living in Anthem at the time.
Okay.
So, which is about a good 45-minute drive to Brophy. And he comes home and he's like, from the weight room, and he's like, I want to play football. And I'm like, absolutely not.
You sound so absolutely much like not. My mom. Like I told a story on here where my mom didn't want me to do anything. Didn't want me to do anything with football. I did everything else but football.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I did horseback riding. I did swimming. I played soccer. Right? It's funny. That. Imagine me on a horse, that. Right?
Okay. I didn't mean to laugh.
No, it's okay. Okay. Jill got a good laugh out of it last week too. So yeah. So he comes home and he's like,
he comes home. He is fired up. He is like, yeah. You know, this coach, I can't even remember the coach at the time in the weight room. And he's like, and I'm like, okay, slow down.
Yeah.
It's not happening. So he's like all day, every day. And we're already driving early. Uh-huh. And he's like, just take me to one. I'm like, all right, what time? He's like, four. I'm like, what, four in the four morning? In the morning?
PM.
I'm like, Tyler. So I talked to Jeremy, mm-hmm. who he's in the middle of his season. And he's like, Nicole, you got to let him.
Yeah. That's bad for you.
He's like, he's playing basketball. He's playing baseball. Like, just let him try it.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah.
So, we did. I spent a lot of mornings. There's a Starbucks across the street from the sports complex at Brophy.
Mm-hmm.
I bring my pillow. And I had a pillow and a blanket and I would stay. Because I'm like, why would I drive 45 minutes to be there at 4:15 in the morning and drive home and then come back and pick them up at 6? Because this is in the summer, okay, before school. Yeah. So there's a lot of times, like Monday through Thursday, I think I slept in the back of my car, took a little nap, and then walk across. And
people don't understand that. Like all the hard work that goes into these athletes. And these are the kind of things that happen behind the scenes. Like you got mom taking a nap in the car like she's homeless.
Yeah.
So he's playing football.
I actually didn't think it would stick because he pitched. Mm-mm. He was a pitcher. Wow. And so they naturally wanted him to be a quarterback. So they were like, he's got great footwork. We're going to try him at quarterback, mm-hmm. at backup. And he hated it. I'm like, oh, maybe this is just going to be it.
It's so, hold on, so you're rooting for him not to like football.
No, I'm not rooting for it. No, I'm sorry. I didn't want to sound like that. But I was like, he doesn't like it. And I'm a nervous wreck. Like his first couple freshman games, he got in there. And I could just tell. Your kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, he does not like this. I know he doesn't like it. And so they moved him to wide receiver.
Okay.
And then that changed everything.
Yeah.
And he had a game. I'll never forget I can't remember who we were playing. It was at home. And he balled out. And I was like, okay, this is it. This is going to be my life. Now, I got a football player.
So that's the day you became a football mom?
No. And I don't even think I realized it then. I thought it was just going to be like, oh, he's just going to play that in season. And then we had that summer. So the summer before his sophomore year. John Kitna left. Okay. And so we're getting this new coach.
Yeah.
And Jason Jewell, it was the end of a summer practice. Mm-hmm. And they were getting ready to have a month off. And then they were going to do fall camp.
Yeah.
And so he did a mandatory, you know, kind of parent.
Meet and greet.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay. So we're sitting on the bleachers outside. And he calls down two kids. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know this guy.
Right.
And he's like, hey, can I get Tyler Powell and Zach Swanson down here on the track?
Zach Swanson, his defensive lineman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me a Texas A&M. Or no.
He's Longhorns. At Texas. He's a Longhorns. Longhorn. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So he called them down and I still have the picture. Okay. They look like kids. I mean, they are kids, but they're just
babies.
Not who they are. Babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he calls them down to the track and he's like, I wanted to get them on the phone. They're getting their first college, you know, offer.
Wow.
They both got an offer to Auburn.
As sophomores.
They haven't even started the sophomore season yet.
Wow.
Kathy Diaz, who is ended up being, she was the team mom and I was assisting her. And
look at you slowly being a team mom.
Oh, no, but wait. Football mom. I looked at her and I go, what does that mean? She goes, I think he just got an offer to play football. And I go, what? What's Auburn? Like, I was like, what is this? And I can't even say what I actually said to her, but she's like, I'm going to put that on a shirt, girl. I'm putting that on a shirt. So we still joke. She's like, how's your not football player? Like,
you had I was no like, clue.
I go, he's not playing college football. He's a baseball player. That's not what I said. I'm giving you the clean version.
No, that's fine. No, I get it. I understand. I know you off the field.
So I was like, this is okay. I kind of realized then and there, like, I better get serious about finding out what this is all about, because this is going to be my world, which is very out of my element. So
you're a baseball. Yeah.
I'm a baseball.
That was like a huge transition. A yeah. That's a huge transition. So he got his first offer as a sophomore, going into his sophomore year. He hadn't even played a down yet.
No.
That's crazy, because I remember with Deuce, it was like, I mean, you've seen Deuce. He's never been the biggest kid. In high school, he probably, as a freshman, 160, playing defensive line or offensive line. And sophomore year, there was no, in my mind, I'm like, okay, there's no way he's getting any kind of offer. So to hear you say that your son got an offer as a sophomore, I'm like, damn, that's amazing. Like, wow. That's when your road to becoming a football mom. I was like,
wait a
minute.
This might actually happen. But I got to say, backing up your statement, Deuce might not look that big, but Tyler has said since day one, he is one of the strongest people he has ever been up against. Like, he's like, Mom, he is crazy strong, way stronger than he looks.
I guess he is. I hear that a lot about him. And when I see him, I'm just like, this little scrawny kid, because I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to embarrass him a little bit. I remember when we were doing, probably going into ninth grade at Hamilton, if Deuce could do 10 push-ups, I'd give you $1 million. Like, he was just, like, I guess he just had that football strength. And, you know, obviously I've shown him about leverage and technique, so that helps a lot. But he's never been some big, massive kid. He's always been undersized. So when I hear people say, like, he's strong and his technique, I love that, because that's what's gotten him through the entire time. Now that you're a football mom now and you've done your research, so this is the first one. So how was that first, I guess, that first transition of, you know, when he was being recruited, like taking these trips? How many trips did y'all take? Like, who were your people that you really were like, okay, these are our four teams? And like, what was your mindset?
It really wasn't like that, because I don't think it was until maybe junior year that he even realized, like, this is what I want to do, because he still played.
So you're still back and forth?
Still back and forth. He was still playing. He played all three up until junior year. It was kind of that summer, maybe that spring, where he realized, like, hey, you know what? I think this is what I want to do. I don't think I took it serious until then.
That's crazy. I was like that when I was being recruited, like with my mom. And even when I started getting some of the D1 schools, I was in high school. I'm like, well, nobody's from my high school has ever gone D1. So I get what you're saying. It's like you hear it and you see this stuff coming in, but you're like, is this real? Is this really going to happen?
Right.
Or I don't want to set myself up for failure.
100%.
Yeah, so I get what you're saying, but it's like, dude, you got an offer from Auburn as a sophomore. Like, this is very real.
But I know you're saying that because you were in that world, but I didn't even know what that meant. And when you're talking D1, I didn't even know what that meant. Like, I was like, D1, D2, Power 5. What's Power 5? I had to look that up. Like, what is Power 5?
Yeah.
I've always been a question asker. Yes. Like, I'm very curious about a lot of different things. I'm genuinely like information, and I like not just one thing, like one side of something. I like to see all angles of everything. So it was a process just to kind of learn that, like, what's D1? What's Power 5? Mm-hmm. And so
FBS, those, like, schools, like, I'm like, oh my God.
There was a lot of that, and we're kind of learning together, because Tyler didn't, I mean, he knew more about it than me, but in the college world, we kind of learned through that together.
Yeah. Once y'all started making your decisions, like, I know for me, when Deuce started getting these offers, you know, my thing for him was, I remember having this talk with him. I said, do you want to go somewhere and just be on a team and win championships, or do you want to go somewhere where you have an opportunity to play? And he was like, Dad, I want to play. I want to get on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously at this point in time, U of A was just coming off of 1-11 season.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, then you need to take your butt down to U of A, because you're going to be able to play and play quickly. Like, was that kind of your mindset, or how did you approach it?
I don't even think so, because, again, I wasn't even, I mean, he'd just started playing and I heard a lot of ceiling, like we can develop because he just came in.
Still raw.
Still super raw. I mean, he was playing backup quarterback as a freshman and he's a tight end. Like, and they didn't even, I don't think they made him a tight end until, I think he was a wide receiver the rest of his freshman year and then sophomore year. I don't think it's until he got to varsity as a sophomore. Maybe he was still a wide receiver then. I don't remember, but he was still learning that position.
Yeah, still learning.
And it's a lot to learn just in that realm. So I don't think he went into it. Of course, every kid wants to play college football, like as soon as they can. Right. But I don't think that's where Tyler's mind was at. I think it was, he was recruited by Powell.
You mean Powell?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Jordan Powell.
I think it was the relationship that drew Tyler to U of A. And Fish was, it was that recruiting class, that 22 recruiting class was his first class.
A lot of pressure on those boys.
Totally. So, but I think it's a good thing. They wanted to be, Tyler wanted to be part of that rebuild.
Yeah.
And, you know, he got that.
Okay, so now your second child. Now you're probably a pro now. This, so you got to explain about your son. Like, he's an offensive lineman. He's highly decorated.
Different position. So Logan, unlike Tyler, he did play baseball and basketball, but he played football, and he has always kind of known, like, this is what I want to do. Yeah. I want to play football.
Yeah. I've seen Logan. He's, even when we checked in down at the hub, I remember seeing him and I'm like, damn, this kid is big. Like, I'm like, whoa. Yeah,
he fits that. He just looks like a lineman, but an athletic one.
They're all athletes now.
Yeah,
there's no more of those big burly guys just lumbering around. You have to be an athlete.
Yeah. That being said, and especially in this new landscape, I was like, I am doing this differently. Yeah. I am going to ask different questions. I took notes from other dads, other parents on these recruiting visits. Mm-hmm. I was all about, like, let me pick your brain.
Yeah.
You have an older son that went through this? Okay, why this school? Why not that school? What questions? And I kind of just learned from other parents. Yeah. So I'm like, okay.
You learn from your own experiences with Tyler. You,
that too. With Logan, I was like, okay, if he starts getting recruited the way that I think he's going to, I have to prepare myself. Like,
absolutely.
Especially with this new landscape, like, it's constantly changing.
Yes.
That, you know, I'm not going to go into this, you know, I'm going to help him take charge of his own recruiting.
Yeah. That's good.
So yeah, that's what we did.
So where has he been so far? Like, I follow you, seen you're traveling. Every time I look, I'm like, you're traveling somewhere new.
Tennessee, Alabama, USC, Arizona, ASU, all over. Now, Tyler being the first, and again, this first experience, I think U of A was perfect. It's 2 hours from home. Yeah. We never had that problem of I'm homesick. I don't see that as an issue for Logan. He really likes Michigan, but I'm from there, so I have family there. Yeah. So I don't know if there's that connection.
Oh, absolutely. It's family. Family's always a good connection when you can go somewhere and know
exactly
I have some people I can lean on, I can depend on. Hey, mom, grandma, auntie, that's always good. Because like I said, once again, that was a big factor for Deuce going to U of A. I'm still close to home.
Mm-hmm.
I can see mom and dad. They can see me play. I can see my sister. So that's always good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And selfishly, I'm kind of like, oh, like I'm taking my own little notes. Like, how long, how many hours is it going to take me to get there? And, you know, it's different for sure.
You have these kids that when they're on this trajectory of being, you know, college level kids, don't you find yourself kind of hanging in the same circles? Because, and the reason I say the same circles, like athletically and like the different clubs, because your youngest son playing basketball, you would like telling my wife, like, hey, do you know this coach Isaiah? We were like, yeah, we know this guy. Mm-hmm. And it just really made me think, like, when these kids are very serious about their sport or they're real serious about their craft, it's only so many places that you take them. It's only 100%. So many trainers, mm-hmm. so many teams that you let them play for. And so you all run in the same circle. Like,
you
how
do.
Has that been for your youngest right now?
It's such a small world. It doesn't matter what sport you're in.
Yeah.
And talking about Isaiah Ryder, his coach, his basketball coach, you kind of lean on people that you know are going to take your kid to the next level.
Yeah.
And you get referrals. Like if it's not going to be basketball, you know, it's going to be, he's going to get you the training that you need for that. Or if he knows somebody, hey, I know over at Vidal, like Adam Schneider, or, you know, they're going to train O-line training. You know, you just kind of depend on that circle of people, but you got to be careful with that too, because there's that element of not everybody has your best kid's interest in mind.
No. There's but we've been fortunate. Sometimes,
yeah.
And I've been blessed too because I played the game. And so a lot of stuff I've been able to do firsthand for Deuce. Like I'm like, okay, I can work you out. We can go to the gym and work out. We can train. So
yes.
I've always kept him away from trainers. But I do kind of have a back and forth feeling about trainers sometimes because you watch these guys and like, what are you telling these parents? Are you telling these parents you can get them D1? Because that's not true. I mean, it's up to the skill level of the child and what they can do. Now, you can help them. You can teach them things. You can help them get bigger. You can help them get stronger. But you can't really sit here and say you're going to get a kid to go D1. Have you had coaches or even trainers try to do that?
No, but I've had friends or Logan's teammates, for sure, that they're like, well, we can get you all these offers. And it's like, well, yeah, that's great that you can get the offer, but you still got to get the kid to perform so that offer's committable.
Yeah. Okay, now you got to go into that because people don't understand about what committable offers are.
Like, I
want you to talk about that, especially being a mom.
That's one of my questions that I have written down for this recruiting process that we've been on. For Logan, is this a committable offer? Because when you're taking these visits out of your own pocket, these unofficials, that's an important question to ask.
Yeah.
Because if it's not, what are we doing here?
Yeah, what are we doing?
As the coach too, like, what are we doing? And typically I've found that if they're asking you to come, it's probably going to be a committable offer. Yeah. They're not going to host you and have you on campus and waste your time or waste theirs. Yeah, I mean, they're busy too.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me the other day, well, how do I even ask that? I said, well, two reasons why you wouldn't.
Yeah.
You aren't comfortable.
Yeah.
Or you don't want the answer.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you're sitting there in front of these guys because they're larger than life, these coaches, and you're like, I don't want to ask anything. But you have to ask those questions.
Yeah.
You have to know, like, are you just doing this for show, or are you really serious about offering my kid a scholarship? And it does hurt. Sometimes you may hear an answer because there were coaches that would say things to Deuce, and Deuce would come back to me. And I mean, he wasn't in tears, but you could see it really hurt his feelings when somebody, you start getting judged by all these coaches, and you got, well, this coach thinks I'm great, but this one's like, yeah, you're okay. You got work to do. Like, you start hearing this, and it's like, you want to just choke these guys because you're like, that's my kid you're talking to.
I know, totally. And especially as a mom.
Oh, yeah.
Like, asking these questions. Like, that's different too. I don't think they expect that, but
you go a lot by yourself just because your husband's work schedule.
Just logistically, he's not here. He's very present and very, a large part of Logan's recruiting, but I'm the one that's physically there in person.
Now, do you feel like you get like kind of talked to differently being a woman as if your husband was there, but now this is your second go around? Are you more knowledgeable so you can kind of...
The first go around, yes. Because I didn't know.
Right.
had no idea what to ask. Like, and I really, and I'm a talker, I really didn't say much because I didn't know what to ask. Right. I didn't know what I should be saying, what I shouldn't be saying. And they already know it when we're there that dad's a coach and that's why he's not here. So I instantly feel like they already know. Like, okay, she's not in this football world, but she knows her husband's a coach. She kind of knows
what's going on.
So no, I don't think I've had a good experience there. I haven't felt uncomfortable or I've had a good experience.
That's good. That's good. Because I know for us, you know, it was a lot of times that I was there and, you know, Ivana would ask these questions and, you know, because she's been around it. Like you said, she's been around college football. She's been around the NFL. And then with her son going through it, there were questions that she would ask. And I could see the reaction of people like, oh, holy, that was a really good question.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, buddy, we've been through this. And there were things that I knew that when me and my mom went through it, that it was the same thing. It was like, it was so intimidating. And you're standing here in a room with Mac Brown and, you know, you see these guys on TV. So you almost idolize them. So you're afraid to ask those tough questions sometimes.
Especially with Tyler, I feel like we were parallel. Like we were learning a lot together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with Logan, he is not afraid to ask questions. You know, where am I at? What are you looking for? You know, where am I at on your
depth chart?
Yeah. How what many are you taking? Do you live in the portal? I mean, he's asking these questions. Oh, I'm like, dang, you know, so
that's good.
But I think he's learned too from Tyler.
Yeah. Having an older brother who's been through
having
it.
Having an older brother. Yeah.
Dad, mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of let's make a list like pros, cons. What do you like? What do you don't like? And I feel like just like Tyler, it comes back to a big part of it is the relationships.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I've talked about that a few times on here where, you know, people, and I say fans, they don't understand what these kids go through when they do make a decision to maybe leave a university or why they chose this university over another. It's just a lot that goes into it. And you're thinking, oh, we should come here because it's a great school. Well, I hear you about the school and your facilities, but my relationship, who I'm committing to, is this coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And so when you get those coaches that then up and leave, your relationship has left. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel safe. So I think for us, and it sounds like the same for you, is like, I want my kid to be somewhere where they're comfortable, where they're going to take care of them. And you have to be able to, I'm about to watch my mouth too. So you have to be careful of the coach's BS sometimes. They'll sell you a bill and you have to be able to see through that and know what's real and what's genuine versus, are they just trying to get my kid here to load up a team or do they really care about them?
But I feel like it's our job as parents to kind of say, like, this, how I feel about a coach or how I feel about the school campus or environment may not be the same as what they're feeling. And at the end of the day, it's them. It's their relationship. And, you know, hopefully that aligns.
Yeah.
But they have to... They have to have that relationship.
No, I agree with that because, you know, when we chose U of A, we were very aligned. Like we talked about it as a family and I was like, this is why I like the school. This is why, these are all my reasons why, you know, Ivana gave her reasons why. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of all aligned with the fact of, you know, it seems like they genuinely care about you. You're starting over you're not starting over, but the coaching staff is coming in. Mm-hmm. They have a new team. You're their guy.
Yep.
And you know how that is. That term, your guy, is a big deal because you're going to get the opportunities. You're going to get second chances that maybe somebody else doesn't get. So those were things that I knew coming in. I'm like, dudes, they really like you. They really care about you. And so for those 2 years that he was there, he had a great time. And then when everybody left to go to Washington, it was kind of the whole thing all over again. Mm-hmm. But it was such like 80% of that team or coaching staff was now there. So that's who he had committed to. Mm-hmm. His loyalty was to those coaches and they had that same loyalty back. Like, hey, you know, do you want to do this? And we love you. Like, come on. And so it was easy for him to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very happy with that. I mean, as a father, as you know, as his mom, we all miss him because it's so far away.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's a better opportunity for him.
It's a better opportunity and he's following that relationship. Yeah. And that's kind of, I feel like that should be definitely a part of it. Not just what the school is or, you know, how well known the school is.
You know, how much money they can give you. Because that was never a thing for us. Like I hear so many people talk about NIL. And I guess for me and what he wants to do in his dreams is the NFL. And so it's like, let's get you in the best position to reach your goals and your dreams. We're not chasing the money because once you start chasing money, that's all you're going to continue to do.
I had a coach on one of these visits I thought had a great thing to say about NIL. He basically said, you know, that saying money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't believe that. I think the love of only money is the root of all evil. And he's like, we all want to place a value on ourselves. Yeah. And you know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't make money when you're here, yeah. but only chasing that is going to be a very lonely place at the end of the day.
It will be. So, Nicole, I just want to thank you very much for being on here. It was a pleasure having you. And, you know, you got to keep me informed of what's going on with
absolutely.
Your kids.
Absolutely, I will. I will. Keep me posted on Deuce, too. We'll be chatting. Oh, absolutely. I'm always, we'll be like, in reaching touch. Out.
Thanks for tuning in to The Route. Don't forget to subscribe and connect with us on socials for exclusive updates. We'll see you next week.